You can meow, man.
Or bark.
Take a warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay, Sit and Stay, 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep a shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and Matt?
I feel it.
Even though we have no music, and I feel like I feel like I've been left all alone, and I'm naked, and it's scary.
In the cold.
Somebody please save me. As always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
You want a safe space, trip down to your underwear and go out in the snow.
I'm already in my underwear. I mean, we don't have snow here. It's New York. We don't get snow anymore. We get weird
snow
weather.
There was when I was a kid. There's a lot of snow when I was a kid. Well, you saying the global warming's real?
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying the weather has shifted. Climate change is real. It's always been real.
Yeah, I will not confirm or deny. But I do. Did you guys see the thing that the highest paid guy at the EPA is going to prison for a couple of years for lying to the government?
No, I did not.
Yeah. Do you see that, Matt?
No, I did not hear about that.
So let's introduce Matt.
Yeah, we're burying the lead here, so we should probably do that.
Yeah, burying the lead. Well, we're just acting like he's one of the gang already. So, Matt Bergman, are you there, Matt?
Yes, I am here, Michael.
Matt. So, Matt Bergman is a lot of things, and one of them is, like me, an internet libertarian. He's a real-life libertarian, too, but he's been doing stuff on the internet for... How long you been on Face Beef doing that stuff, Matt?
Well, I started the Punk Rock Libertarians group in, I believe it was November of 2009. And then I started the fan page in June of 2010. So in that time, we've occurred, I think it's up to 162,000 likes right now. So
nice. That's, you're very well liked then. So I noticed you back then. People will probably say, but no, Michael hasn't been on Facebook that long. I just checked. I have.
No, I knew you back then.
And I, what?
I knew you back then. Like,
thank you.
Dude, I got to give you some credit though, because like I've always thought that like punk rock and libertarianism went together like peanut butter and jelly, you know. And so, and then I've always like searched, just Googled for any sort of punk rock libertarian anything. And I believe in the days of Facebook, like I stumbled across some page that you did back then.
Yeah, it was called Libertarian Punk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah. You're like the original punk rock libertarian.
Well, maybe, because the reason that people might not think I was on Facebook back then is because my Facebook account is not that old, because at one point I quit in disgust and was gone for over a year and then came back
rage
with a new...
Rage quit.
I remember. I knew you the first time around.
I didn't really rage quit, though. It wasn't, you know, I did a short note that said, hey, I'm just too busy to do this, and I don't like their privacy policies. You know, if you want to get in touch with me, here's other places to get in touch with me. I did not do the long treatise on, I'm taking my bow and going home, that defines rage quitting. But I have raged and quit, but just not at the same time. So,
I see.
Yeah, so I noticed Matt back then, because when I first became a libertarian, and I mean, I've always been one, but the first time I really like assigned that label to me and was minarchist, I basically went from statist to minarchist in one sitting, reading the book You and the Police by Boston Tea Party, which I highly recommend that book. People go get it on Amazon. You can buy a used copy pretty cheap too, but you know, buy a new copy and support Boston Tea Party, because he's an OG libertarian, been writing books since the 80s. About liberty. He's one of these cowboys. He's one of the founder of the Free State Wyoming. He's one of these cowboy libertarians. that, you know, and part of the reason I moved to Wyoming was because we got guns. I wanted to open carry. California, that's, people have done it in California since then, but it may be legal, but the SWAT team will shoot you. So that's not really technically legal in my book. But so we moved to Wyoming so we could at least get permits and carry out of the house. Now you can carry open or concealed in Wyoming without a permit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was like the second state to do that. Now there's like six of them, I think, or seven. So, but I first noticed you on, I guess I first became a libertarian like around 2006, right after my daughter died of cancer. And she had been smoking weed to not be in excruciating pain during her chemo. And it clicked in my head. Like, I didn't smoke pot. I hadn't, I've been sober for many years, but it just kind of clicked to me like, wait, somebody would put her in a cage and she'd die of cancer in a cage or have cancer, like the thought that could happen made me start to be interested in marijuana legalization around the same time, around 2006, someone tried to break in our house. And I told my wife, we're getting guns. And she said, I don't like guns. It's admitting the world is a bad place to have a gun. And I said, sometimes the world is a bad place and I love you, honey, and we're getting guns. And then we got a shotgun and we went and fired it. And she's like, I want more. I want more of these. And then, she carries a Glock in her purse all the time now. So,
where did you come from to go to libertarianism?
Where did I come from?
Yeah.
Physically?
No, as far as like politically. You said you became a libertarian in 2006.
I was a lazy Democrat who thought that only the police and the military should have guns, but I didn't like the police and the military. I voted, but not always. Like, if there was something good on TV, I wouldn't go vote. And like, that's how important it was to me. And I usually would vote by, like, I lived in San Francisco for like 16 years. I would usually cut out the little thing that the lefty city paper said of who to vote for, and I'd vote like that. So a combination of like becoming a marijuana activist because my daughter, was dying of cancer, smoking pot and breaking the law, and getting guns at the same time. And that led to the movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, that Nima Vedati and I made. And I was pretty much a minarchist until I met Nima, and then went from statist to minarchist in one sitting, in one night, in a chair reading a book. And then like a few years later, went from minarchist to anarchist over a few weeks time, hanging out with Nima Vedati in my home when he was living in Casper, Wyoming. So, but around the time, probably around 2009, I think right when you came out with the punk rock libertarians thing, I had a website called libertarianpunk.com. I actually finally let it expire recently. I was like, I don't do anything with it anymore. Everything I do is a libertarian punk thing, so I don't need to have a website. I thought I got offered it to you, didn't I?
Matt? I don't know. I don't remember.
I think I offered you that domain free, or like, take it over and pay the $10 and you can have it. But so like in 2009, the fact that there was something called punk rock libertarians really caught my eye. I think your logo was a picture of Lysander Spooner and you photoshopped a leather jacket on him. I thought that was hilarious. And the reason this was important and the reason you're important, well, there's a lot of reasons you're important. You're a good guy. But the reason you're important to my journey is because nobody else was doing punk rock libertarian stuff back then, and we both were with those words even, but nobody was really doing stuff that had a punk attitude with libertarianism. Like, all the libertarian stuff was Libertarian Party stuff. Like, if there was a podcast, it was like, somebody reading a book. It was an audio book of someone reading something by Mises. There was Free Talk Live. I would say they were the first thing, but they don't really take it that far because they're on commercial radio, and so are the Freedom Fiends, but they make their living doing it. So they have to be kind of like a regular talk show. So they're not as free form as us either. I love them. They're great people, and they were an important part of my journey. But you were doing that stuff when no one else was doing it, when libertarianism, like when that bothered libertarians. Did you get a lot of that early on?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things, dude, because, I guess people look at libertarians as Republicans who smoke pot,
And
I heard a lot of that back then. Yeah.
Yeah. And I still hear a lot of that. And I don't know, man. It, like, I kind of get mad. I don't know. Is libertarianism a right wing or a left wing deal? What do you think?
Are you saying you get sick of that question or you're asking me that question?
Well, I mean, just like thought, philosophy. Like, do you think it's a right wing or a left wing idea?
It's neither. It's neither and both, but not even both, because it's because both of those, like, you know, I believe that when I first became a libertarian, I was trying to describe it to people like my family and stuff. And I'd be like, well, you know, I'm, you know, it depends on the issue with gay marriage, I'm to the left of Nancy Pelosi, and with gun ownership, I'm to the right of Ted Nugent. You know, I used to say that, and it was kind of funny, and it's kind of true, but I guess the easiest way to say of what I believe now is it's the question doesn't really compute, because I think the easy way to say it is we're off the chart. We're outside that box. You know, like when you do the world's smallest political quiz, which is a great thing. People should Google it if they don't know what it is. It's a great introduction to figuring out what libertarianism is. And it does have the left right paradigm. It's an XY axis. The first time I took that, my answers were literally off the chart. They didn't fit in that matrix. So I guess I'd say it's neither. What would you say?
I mean, it's so, like, I'm a big believer in the definitions are relative. You know, the same word can mean a million different things depending on who you're speaking to. So I don't think it's necessarily written in stone. But in some ways, you could say it's on the right in that we're calling for smaller government, you know, conservatism. Or you could say it's on the left in that if you look at the definition of the word liberal to be tolerant and permissive, I'd say that libertarians are the most tolerant and permissive people. We should just take that fucking word back. Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry.
Take that. Dump that.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Yeah, we should take that word back. I mean, in a lot of ways. So, I mean, you could look at it in a bunch of ways, and you could really just say it's neither.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think that leftists have been permissive since the 60s, you know, with the anti-war movement, I think. And that really ended. Nixon was really smart because he got rid of the draft. And then all like 95% of the anti-war protesters went away, because it turned out a lot of the hippies weren't anti-war for everybody, just for them and the people they knew, you know.
Yeah, they haven't been that. They haven't been permissive, but they try to play that cool card as if they are permissive. So it's great to remind them of how unpermissive they actually are. Any chance we can get?
Yep, yep. So, what do you think, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, I would basically agree with both of you. I don't think it's in the same chart. So, you know, the left right is such a small part of the gigantic of the overall spectrum, and yeah, we're totally on a different plane. So,
yeah.
It's not socially conservative and fiscally, or, you know, whatever that garbage is.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
And there existed stickers. They used to not exist. Now they exist.
That's funny. DJ, how do you like the fiend stickers on our coffee pot?
They're gorgeous.
Yes. What do they say?
State speech is hate speech. And BIPCOT. .org.
Yeah, and people can get them by going to freedomfiends.com and clicking on the new link at the top. It says stickers, and there will be more designs. So check back regularly. Catch them all.
Worms.
When you're 17, being a punk rocker means doing the opposite of everything that you're supposed to do. When you're 35, being a punk rocker means building your own world around you where you can do what you want without stepping on other people's property. That's what I think. So that guy's gone. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, anywho. Yeah, any so let's not talk about that. All right, anywho. So, Jeremy.
Yes.
What is let's continue the topic though. Have we ever talked about your journey to liberty on this show?
I'm not sure. Probably, possibly.
We could do it again. It hasn't been recently, and there's probably 90% different listeners.
Yeah, it definitely hasn't been.
Go ahead. Give me the long form version.
Oh, sure. Well, my journey was I took the long, circuitous route. I started off from the time I, you know, voting age until I was 26, 27. I was the prototypical useful idiot Democrat. You know, kind of what you were describing, like voting down the left side. Just, you know, I didn't go so far as taking it out of the newspaper, but that's pretty much what I did. I just, you know, if I voted, it was all on the left. The only Republican I ever voted for was my cousin when he was running for, and then trying to get reelected as the town clerk. And I told him as much too. I kept making sure I let him know that he was the only Republican I would ever vote for, and it was only because he was family. So I did that for a while, and really for the most part I was apathetic, and I just didn't really pay too much attention. And then when I finally got off my rear end and stopped mooching off my grandmother and got my own place and then ended up starting my business, all of a sudden I started realizing why so many people said that, you know, the closer you get to 30 or so, you know, you start to realize certain things and you start to see the world in a different light. And it's usually when you get a mortgage or you get a lot of more bills and taxes start getting taken out. And sure enough, that's when I started paying a little bit more attention, because all of a sudden I was making good money, but I was also getting hit hard for taxes with all this stuff. And I slowly shifted to Republican, but I considered myself a conservative. And then when the Tea Party became big, I kind of hopped on board with them for a little while. But it was really the real push was because of my dad, because my dad was a hardcore Tea Partier and a constitutionalist and
Tea Partier. That makes it sound like it's fun.
Yeah, well, I guess it could be fun if you like that kind of stuff. I don't know, but he was also very anti-Obama. Obama's a Muslim. All the conspiracy theories about him. My dad was hardcore about all these things and kept peppering me with these emails and kept sending all these emails and calling me and telling me, just look into this. You got to look into this. This, you know. And after ignoring him for like almost a year, I ignored him. Finally, I just got fed up with him. I said, you know what? I'm going to prove you wrong. So that's what I set out to do. I set out to prove him wrong. And along the way, that's when I kind of hopped into the Tea Party for a while, and I started examining all this stuff and doing my own research and kind of figuring out that, well, he was definitely, off his rocker about certain things, but other things that the Tea Party in general or some of the more, you know, actual, you know, smaller Republicans and the libertarians were talking about kind of made sense, like stuff about the history that we were getting that wasn't correct, and the fact that the money system was really screwed up, like all these things were making sense. And I was like, well, okay, so he's not completely wrong. So I just kept digging, and I ended up in the Libertarian Party. I ended up getting pushed into running for local office. And it was through that campaign that I saw how horrible the Republicans and Democrats were, even on the local level, like how despicable they were about trying to just keep people like me off the ballot altogether because they didn't even want to deal with us, that I got fed up before it was even announced that we weren't going to get on. That I turned to my buddy, who was the one who had kind of got me into the whole thing, and I'm like, yeah, that's it. I'm done. You were right. This whole thing is stupid. I'm an anarchist. And I was at that point, I was just, that was it. And that was, I guess, 4+ years ago now. But it, it took me a long time, because it wasn't until, you know, like I said, after I was 30, after my kids were born, that I really got into this and really started looking. But once I went down that rabbit hole, I went past my dad. And I never look back. And now I'm trying to drag him further down the hole with me. And I've almost got him there. So that's my story for the most part. It's
good timing.
Been an interesting ride.
It's been a beautiful ride. I think politics, trying to fix things from within the system, turns a lot of people straight up anarcho-capitalist. And they realize that everything's against you and will stop you from changing it from within the system.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, and we're working on adding distributed DNS functionality to Bipcoin. We're calling this .bip, and it will provide uncensorable domain names in an easy-to-use interface. Unlike previous systems attempting this, .bip will be simple for both the website owner and for people viewing websites. This will get at the worldwide adoption we need to keep speech free, and cyber squatting will not be a problem. Please help out with a donation or just share this with your friends if you can't chip in some cash or Bitcoin to save free speech around the world, because there are incoming regimes that hate honest criticism. Go to bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
Yeah, let's say this about Matt Thorpe. That guy would never work for free in this town again. Oh, wait, are we on air?
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Hey, hi, audience. Sorry. I didn't see you there.
I didn't see you coming.
Yeah, well, the reason he was on Skype and sounded bad, in addition to other problems, was because he's one of the beautiful people who uses a Macintosh. So,
I hate
tell
those
me about
beautiful
your thoughts.
People.
Yeah. Well, the thing I really hate about those beautiful people is they think they're better than everyone else, but they can't do anything with anyone who's not on a Mac. People on Windows and people on Linux can do things with people on Windows and Linux. And, like, you know, people on Windows and Linux can always open a file sent to them from someone on Mac, but Mac people can't often open a file sent to them from someone on Linux or Windows. So they're, yeah, you know, they're in their own little walled garden. As Richard Stallman said, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, Steve Jobs made jail cool. I love that. It's so accurate.
It is a good line. It's a great line. It's true. I mean, I've never been a fan of Macs. I've always stayed away from I've stayed away from Apple products in general. I've just always had I've never enjoyed them, and they've always just, anytime I've tried to use them, they've not been user friendly for me. So I guess, you know, Windows has always been a better option. But yeah, I've noticed that for people that do have that Macs, you know, exchanging stuff with them, because I had that problem with my former co-host Danilo on the Seeds of Liberty, where when I would try to send him files, he would always have such a hard time opening them. And I was like, I don't understand. I'm sending you a file that I send to everybody else, like, regularly. Yeah. Like, why is this an issue? And the same thing happened when I wanted to originally switch to Fiend Phone on the Seeds. And because I was trying to make that switch shortly after you guys rolled, before I was even on the Fiends. I was trying to make that switch shortly after you guys rolled out the software, because I was like, we need to use this. We have to use this. And because of his Mac issues, we just never were able to. And then, although I did say that, you know, nowadays, I think at the very least one of our co-hosts has proven that even that's not an obstacle anymore, as long as you're not a complete.
Yeah, Chandler runs Fiend Phone, which is Windows only, on Mac with an emulator. So it can be done. Yes. James Babb used to do that too. Like on batteries in a car on the road, sitting in front of a public library in some town at midnight, like using their Wi-Fi.
I know you're issues with
he
this.
Also though,
but he did prove that you can do Fiend. Yeah, you can do Fiend Phone anywhere under just about any circumstances. So there's never really an excuse.
He also though complained a lot about Fiend Phone because, you know, it didn't work for Mac with an emulator the way that like something from the Apple Store would, you know, made by Apple would work. I mean, Fiend Phone, for people that don't know, they're listening, it's what we're using to connect to each other. It's software that I designed and computer programmer Derek Slopey made and programmed, and it really kicks butt. And it basically replaces a $1,500, almost replaces, like 95% is good, replaces a $1,500 piece of equipment called a Comrex, which most radio stations and radio shows, professional radio shows, use when they have a live remote. Like when they go down to the local bar and it's, you know, opening and they have a big event with the radio station there, or they go to the local sports ball game and, you know, they're interviewing the man on the street. They're using a Comrex usually. It's the industry standard. And I bought one of those to first get us on radio 4 years ago. And like basically I paid about $300 and then fundraised the other $1,200 and bought this device. And I would use it on my end to connect to GCN, and then the other host would Skype to me. And we still sounded way better than Matt sounded on Skype. You know, the weird thing is too, like Matt, I worked hard to try to get him on the show. He's really disappointed me because I tried to get him on, you know, kind of against my better judgment. Like he wanted to be on. I kind of thought maybe I should have him on. And I actually was considering him for a Fiends host because I like the guy. I like his history and he does a podcast and it's okay. So, you know, I didn't want to tell him, hey, I'm going to try you out for the Fiends because I don't like to get people's hopes up. So I, you know, that was his audition and he failed it with flying colors. But, I worked with him hard, like did over an hour of sound check and pregame and typing to him and all that stuff. I finally got him sounding pretty good the other night with Skype. And he must have completely forgotten it because he sounded really bad on the air. I don't know what he did differently, but
I would assume he changed some setting or something, and didn't realize, or maybe didn't realize he changed. But either way, something had to have changed because, again, I recall what you did with with James Weeks before he had Fiend Phone.
I bought him a mic.
Yeah, I know, but you got the time that we had him on here on the Fiends before, you know, as a guest, right after he did the striptease at the Libertarian National Convention. I had had him on the Seeds of Liberty a couple days before that. He used the exact same setup, and he sounded absolutely like 100 times better when we had him on the Fiends.
Yeah.
Because you did the same type of work with him. So if you were able to make James, who I think at the time was recording in his car,
yeah,
on his cell phone to sound, you know, workable on the air, then something definitely changed.
And that's before I bought him a mic. I mean, I made him sound 100 times better, you know, with the equipment he had.
That's what I'm saying.
which is why I don't like the excuse when people like James Woods, is that his name? Tom Woods.
Tom Woods
show. Really brilliant. Really brilliant.
He's the actor.
The actor who likes young girls. Young women.
Well, he hates Obama. Well, yes, young women, and hates Obama and likes to tweet about him constantly.
Yeah. So Tom Woods sounds, he used to sound horrible. His whole show used to sound horrible. And then me and some other people railed at him about it. And then he went and got somebody, paid someone in his town to come over to his house and set things up. And after that, he sounded really good. He always sounds really good, but he has a different guest every show. Most of the time. He has a different guest. When he's what?
When he's home in his studio, he sounds good.
Yeah.
He doesn't. When he goes out and does live stuff, he doesn't care as much. And because there's ones Jim talks about, the episodes that are like almost like pretty much unlistenable. Because I try to listen to all of them too. Because, you know, whatever. Tom Woods was my red pill originally. He was the one I found first. He was the one I started reading. And, you know, so like I have a great appreciation. And plus, he used to work really close to he worked at the school that I was going to before I ended up starting my business. Nice. And we just missed each other, like, you know, and we're actually not even that far apart in age. I think only like 4 years. But anyway, he doesn't care as much on his live shows. Like the feedback and stuff is horrible. It is virtually unlistenable. But his guests, as you were saying, are.
So since James, Tom Woods, Jim Woods, James, what's his name? Tom Woods.
Tom Woods.
Since Tom Woods improved his personal audio, but still doesn't give a crap about the hosts, I've given him crap on the internet about it, and people forward it to him, and he's like, hey, it's not my fault. I sound good. You know, and it's like, no, but it is his fault because anytime someone's on this show, I sound check with him. And, you know, most people, you don't have to do an, unlike Matt, who I did an hour and he still sucked. But, you know, but he sounded good the other night when I was testing with him, but then he forgot it. So when when I, you know, do tests like that with somebody, like if I set somebody on, even if I do 5 minutes with them before the show, and that's another thing. Most people don't even do that. They're just like, okay, we're connected. All right, let's go. Let's record. You know, that's what Tom Woods does, obviously. I mean, you can, anybody who doesn't sound good, no matter what they're using, even if it's a cell phone, you can do a little work to make them sound better. It's usually got to do with getting them a little closer or further from the mic, or, you know, turning, or like using headphones. That makes a big difference. If you're using Skype, and you're just yelling at the microphone in your computer, if you put on headphones and then get a little closer to your computer mic, you usually sound a lot better. Because without the headphones, Skype has to do more noise cancellation, and it affects the quality. And, you know, a lot of things, too, like with somebody who's doing an interview on a radio show, like they'll, you know, if it's a long interview, I talk to him a little ahead of time. If I ever do something like that, I'll never do it again. I'll never have anybody on here, you know, unless it's like breaking news, like, you know, Saddam Hussein calls me from the bunker and wants to be on the Freedom Fiends. I'd probably put him on from phone. But yeah, someone's going to
be a really neat trick.
And then someone's going to do that in the next segment, pretend to do that. But yeah, I have the phone that can speak to the dead.
Yeah, that's a
yeah. But you
know,
can like
I want to be on like, that night. Just to let you know.
Yeah, yeah. Usually, you know, the pecking order of like worst or best sound to worst sound. You know, you can usually move somebody up one peg on the pecking order. Like all other things considered, like a home studio is better. You know, professional studio is best. Home studio is next best. Like we like I have good mic with headphones and mic that I recommend, USB mic, dynamic mic on a mic stand near your mouth with a windscreen like you have right now is the next best. I would say using Skype wearing headphones with a laptop mic and close to the laptop mic, but not too close is next best. I would say using a landline telephone is best. Most people don't have them anymore, but they sound way better than cell phones. And then I'd say next would be a cell phone using headphones. Then you're going to sound better because you're not going to have the noise cancellation problem. Next would be a smartphone with headphones using Skype. Skype on a phone will sound better than the phone on a phone.
Oh, yes, most definitely.
Yeah. And then, you know, from there downhill, it's just worse and worse down to a cell phone not on speakerphone. The worst is a cell phone on speakerphone. That's the worst possible thing most people have access to that you can put on the radio. And I'd say that in that list of about eight things, Matt was between the worst and second worst in sound.
I don't know about that. It was close. It was definitely
maybe
it was,
third. Maybe well.
Yeah, know, it was down the road. It was down.
You know
the
what I think though? I think what might have happened was, I think we sound checked. Like when we were sound checking, he didn't know how to configure Skype, how to set your audio input and output, and I think he was originally he was using the onboard mic on the computer, and then I told him how to pick the, you know, his
microphone
mixer. Yeah. Yeah, he has a mixer. Using his mixer input, because he's never used it with Skype. And I was like, okay, we'll do that. And he finally sounded good. I think he was using the onboard mic on the computer. What do you think?
That could be possible. It's hard. It was hard to tell because his volume was definitely lower, even though we asked to have it raised a couple of times. I guess that was.
I think the Wardop raised as much as he could.
That's what I'm saying. I think I know because it's still distorted at certain points anyway. Unfortunately, yeah. And he said he had to cut part of the low end too. So
because he has a big bottom. A lot of people do after 30.
Yeah, it happens, man.
It happens.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hi, have you heard about Bipcoin? Not Bitcoin, but Bipcoin. Bravo, India, Papa, Coin. Bipcoin is a new cryptocurrency that you can start mining today for free on ordinary computers. Unlike most altcoins, Bipcoin is not a clone of Bitcoin. Bipcoin is based on entirely new, more recent, and better code called CryptoNote. So unlike Bitcoin, Bipcoin has truly untraceable transactions, does not require specialized mining rigs, and has adaptive limits. Plus, Bipcoin is the only cryptocurrency covered by the BIPCOT no government license. This allows use and reuse by any
anyone except governments and government agents. If you're still kicking yourself in the head for not getting in on the ground floor of Bitcoin, start mining, using, and trading Bipcoin today.
Not a guarantee.
Mining Bipcoin costs you nothing but the electricity to run your computer. And we already take Bipcoin for stickers and buttons. Go to Bipcoin.org. That's Bipcoin.org. Once again, that's Bravo India Papa Coin.org.
All right, so we're going to do a live sound check on the air here. So
of course we are.
I'm going to talk to people named Jeremy.
People are people.
Yeah, wherever you go, if they say the wrong thing, they're no longer on your show. That's very good white rap. All right,
poor Matt,
so,
we hardly knew you.
Poor Matt, we hardly knew you. That's the name of the episode right there. All right. All right. He deserves it. He knows
yeah.
it. All right. So,
we're going to do
it. How are you, Jeremy?
Well, I am doing wonderful, Michael. How are you?
I am excellent. So filibuster for a minute.
Filibuster. Okay, I'll filibuster. Well, let's see. What was I telling you before the show? Oh, yeah, I had a horrible day with my vape pens. I dropped the battery in the water. I broke the plastic tank that I bought to replace the glass ones that I kept breaking, although the glass one broke on the second or third time around, and the plastic one broke the first time. It's just been a whole mess. Everything's been telling me to stop vaping, but I keep wanting to do it anyway because I'm not ready to give up yet.
I think the universe is not telling you to stop vaping, because when you were talking about that before the show, I forgot to tell you this, because we got sidetracked with poor Matt. We hardly knew ye. Matt Bergman will never work for free in this town again. All right, so my wife is quitting vaping and wants to send you some vape hardware.
Oh, well, thank you, DJ. That's very nice of you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I refuse to get anything other than what I'm using. I didn't want to step up because I figured that was more of an investment and more.
No, like, she doesn't have the, like, neckbeard giant, you know, the people who prove their mating signal is making YouTube videos where they have huge plumes.
Well, the fact that it became a competitive sport is just beyond me. Like, it's just insane. Yeah, I know people that are.
Is it actually there? Are there competitions?
Yeah, there's competitions for it. Absolutely.
Wow. You know,
thickness and distance and like
these kids today.
Sadly, it's not kids. It's 20, 30-year-old people. You know, hey,
adult man-childs.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. I know some of these people. I've met some of these people. They're pretty intense. And
Matt Bergman. I worked with Matt Bergman for one segment, and you, sir, are no Matt Bergman in your plumage.
In your plumage.
Plumage. Like birds. Libertarian neckbeards use their plumage to attract mates.
Yeah, I don't think that really works, though, because pretty much everybody makes fun of those people.
Yeah, well, I think there's only one woman who vapes in the world, and it's Nikki Darling, and she's not impressed by that.
I don't think that's true. I think Diana
vapes. Oh, you think she's impressed by that?
No, Diana vapes.
Really?
Yeah.
Weed?
No, I think she vapes nicotine, too.
Huh.
I know she was only smoking. I think she was only smoking actual cigarettes with me at Porkfest because I was smoking them. But she normally. I'm pretty sure. I'm almost positive she normally vapes nicotine as well. So
excellent.
And I know plenty of other.
This is what nationally syndicated radio is for, people. Those of you listening, is decide which of our friends that none of you people listening know.
Well, people should know Diana.
I know. She's people know her.
She's a co-host on this show.
We should make it clear which Diana you're talking about.
Sorry,
too,
yes,
which is
yes.
Diana Kyler, who is a co-host on this show.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that thing We Hardly Knew Ye from? I know there's a Simpsons with something like that, but I think it's a takeoff on something else.
Oh, I have. I mean, I want to naturally attribute it to, you know, Shakespeare. Yes, thank you. I was going to say that, and then the voice in my head told me it was Shakespeare. So I'm going to go with the voice in my head. And yes, it was a Shakespeare
Johnny
thing.
There's something. There's a Wikipedia page for something called Johnny I Hardly Knew Ye.
Well, I'm
which
sure
is
there's
a song from 1867 to the tune of When Johnny Comes Marching Home. which is probably, it's probably a, let's see, is it in Britain? Because, you know, When Johnny Comes Marching Home is a Civil War song for the South. It's the only one that those people know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it definitely goes comes before that too. Like, it predates that as well. So
Shakespeare.
It may be predating Shakespeare. I don't know. It just makes sense that it's a Shakespeare thing. But like I said, the voice told me it was. We're gonna go with the voice.
Okay.
Trust the voice.
The voice in our ear. Yes.
I trust
the voice. Yorick. We Hardly Knew Thee.
There you go.
That's from
Horatio. Okay.
Or Horatio. We Hardly. Yeah, it's Yorick and.
Well, there you go. When the, like he's, like I was saying,
the skull.
Hamlet. I'm sure there is a bunch of, like, millions of variations of it now at this point that have been used over and over again. But it fits here, so we should use it.
I just need to know, like, Shakespeare era or, like, you know, 70s television era.
Gotcha.
Shakespeare.
Yeah. Survey says Shakespeare.
We got the skull. Poor Yorick. I knew him well.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends. Be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia. Laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPStrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Meow.
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 Yeah.
Best jail.
Jesus is probably doing the intro, I guess.
I know the first hour by heart. Can we just do that one?
Yeah, sure. Do that one.
All right. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A at My Love Sea Level at Intergalactic Prairie Studio. We alter your locus to release by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty Atosi 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep us in those days of attitude. Can you feel it, Michael WD? Can you feel it, Terry?
I feel it.
And Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT No Government License. It allows use and reuse by anyone except state actors. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org. Actors.
The burn. State actors, like the guy, like Bill Pullman, who played the president. So yeah, Jim
mixed up too. So you know,
Jim Jesus jumped on to save us from. I'm just still fuming from hour one, and I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but I often say that.
I don't know how many times you'll tell us during the break, like, okay, we're not going to talk about this because of it, and then immediately the next second, it's like, darn it, we're going to talk about it.
Well, Matt Bergman will never work for free in this town again. And by this town, I mean Liberty. Because,
you get to speak for Liberty now? Oh, you are.
Yeah, including his own podcast. He's not allowed to do that anymore.
Oh, man.
I'm going to pull some strings.
That's harsh. That's harsh.
Make sure he can't even do that. So
that's mean.
Yeah. No, that'd be affecting his free speech. I'm just going to, you know. He's done. I'm done with him. He's buried. He's in the catacombs, like four layers below Jim Babb. So there.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Really?
I
want Jim Babb to thrive just away from me.
Okay. That sounds fair.
Yeah. So let's see.
Yeah. He'll thrive on my podcast then.
There you go. Yeah. And all eight listeners. Yeah.
I don't know. Kidding. Like, I'll check my stats, and I'm like, really? I'm that popular?
Well,
okay.
I'm basing that on the number of downloads of your app. But you haven't pushed the app yet that I made, have you? on your show? You should.
Yeah, I talked about it, and okay. We just recorded another episode today. It'll be out tonight, right. Sometime. It's going to be kind of interesting. It's like the first time we're not going to be using like Discord or Fiendphone because they're actually in studio. So,
hey, Jeremy, what do you think?
And drinking.
I'm gonna go check this.
Oh. What do I think about?
Yeah, talk. I'm sound checking.
Oh, so wait a minute. Who did the show?
Who did you have in house? Baron Von Stormy.
Oh, there you go.
Of course, the one that lives in Vegas. I'm not flying anybody out here.
if one of the other Lulberts just happened to wander through town, I don't know. I don't keep tabs on every one of them. They're immediately banned.
No, don't come meet me. Not wanted. No, I'm just kidding. Of course.
Oh, good to know. Well, that's all right. I've actually never been to Vegas, and even though my dad lives my dad lives in Henderson, and I still haven't gone to visit him. He's been there. Gosh, over a decade at this point. He has to have been. Yeah, he's been there since longer than I've owned my house, so definitely. Still haven't made it out there.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of fun stuff to do out here. Like, I just saw, I had a friend who just gave me, for my birthday, a couple of tickets to go see the Beatles Love Circus de Soleil show. It was amazing, and there's all kinds of shows going on.
Our friend is the sound man for that.
Yeah, that was the guy.
Nice.
Yeah, not going to say his name, but hey, yeah. I have a story about Baron von Stormhaven. Which he's not a white nationalist, but I say that'd be one of the greatest white nationalist names ever. other than Billy Auschwitz, which was what my punk rock name was for 1 week in 1981.
That's horrible. Anyways.
It was, but I was tripping at my friend's house and looking at a Time Life book his dad had of the Holocaust in a collection of Time Life books he had. And I was looking at the pictures and tripping and just going, whoa. And then I was like, trying to think of a punk rock name to reinvent myself in the new town of Washington, D.C., where I just moved and was living in his dad's mansion for the first couple of weeks. Then his dad came home and kicked me out, and then I lived on the street in an abandoned factory. And then winter came along, and I decided, okay, that's no longer romantic. I'm going to get a job and get an apartment. Yeah, it's not romantic being a homeless punk rocker in D.C. in the winter. It's very romantic in the summer. But
So tell me about Baron.
If you were living in a factory, are you actually technically homeless?
you have a roof over your head. It's just not yours, and the windows are broken, and there's no heat.
The details, yeah. Michael. Details.
Yeah, yeah. But sitting around listening to Dead Kennedys on an eighth generation cassette on a crappy boombox with one broken speaker, powered by stolen batteries. Good times.
Yeah.
So Baron von Stormhaven, I was recently trying to tech support something with him and Bitcoin, and we're going back and forth, and I was getting frustrated because I'm like, I don't understand, why isn't this working for you? And he goes, finally, after the fourth or fifth email, goes like, oh, by the way, I didn't tell you I'm using, did I tell you? I forgot to tell you, I'm on Linux, and that made all the difference in the world. And I wrote him back, and this is true. I wrote him back, and I said, people on Linux always forget to tell you they're on Linux. I was complaining earlier because they think they're, it reminds me of Linux users remind me of a joke I heard when I was a kid. So guy dies and goes to heaven. St. Peter's giving him the tour. He goes by this one room and he hears this clinking of glasses and he goes, oh, that's the Presbyterians having dinner. They're drinking. And then he goes by another room and he hears someone yell bingo. And he's like, oh, that's the Catholics. And they go by this other room and there's this black curtain drawn. And St. Peter says, shh, that's the Baptists. They think they're the only ones up here.
Yeah.
That's kind of how Linux users are.
Yep. But, should we bring up some beef? I had a cheesy beef quesadilla. It's beefy. There's a little bit of cheese in it, not much, but there's definitely a lot of spice in it. Like, this always kind of bugs me. So I had a discussion with Rich Paul. I'm sure you know who Rich Paul is. He I don't know if he still lives in Keene, but he was like a Keene activist there for a while. And he was doubling down hard on Gary Johnson this whole election. And the whole time I was just like, I supported him for like 5 seconds. And even I regretted that 5 seconds. He's just been an absolute embarrassment. And he did the whole, like, you know, well, he's brought more liberty, you know, people to liberty than you have. What have you ever done for liberty? I cannot stand when people say this about anything, even if it's not about libertarianism, even if it's about, like, you know, what have you ever done for skateboarding? I don't care. It always drives me nuts, because anytime someone asks me that question, my initial response is, more than you. Because anybody who asks that question is probably the kind of person that, you know, has probably laid shame upon whatever it is they're advocating for, if they think that, you know, like, everything's about, like, you know, a size waving contest, to put it radio friendly. Am I right?
Yeah.
I can't stand this. Why do people insist on doing this? Like, oh, I've done more for X, therefore you can't have an opinion different than mine. Wow. When has that been a thing? I'm sure it's predated libertarianism.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's always, because that's, you know, that's pretty much, I mean, that's the whole idea, that's the whole agenda of the SJWs, isn't it? Like, no. if you have a different opinion than us, you know, it can't possibly be. How could you possibly have that opinion? What's wrong with you?
And that was my response to him, and he got upset and blocked me, because I was like, I've done more than you. Yeah, and I was like, don't worry about what I've done. Just know that it's more than you.
that's funny. I've beefed with him so many times, and he's yet to block me. And I call, I have a name that I call him that's not radio friendly, but I refer to him every time I speak with him. And I actually called him it when I saw him at the festival that shall not be named anymore. And he just gave me this nasty look, and I was like, yep, it's me, hello.
He's a mess.
He is, you know.
He's a mess.
And aside from the not, you know, having, you know, can't understand, you know, why, you know, you have a different opinion, which means you must be wrong, because he's done more. Well, yeah, that's the other thing with him. The one thing he did, he thinks he's going to, I swear he's going to rest on that for the rest of his life. Like, I did this for liberty, and I'm wonderful because of it. Yeah, it's great. Okay, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think he still lives in Keene, but by living in Keene, it means he's still mooching off of Ian. As far as I know, that's what living
in Keene I know that means before he blocked me on Facebook, it was saying that he was in Michigan, around the Ann Arbor region. And I was like, why is he over there?
Michigan? He has his family, as far as I know, his family's from there. And from what I recall, Lou saying, last year he was busting his chops about the fact that Rich was probably going to end up moving there because he spent so much time there, because he does hang out with Lou's crowd and a couple of the other Michigan factions of libertarians and anarchists. So I don't know, maybe he is, you know, but technically I don't think he really has a home. He's kind of like a turtle. Travels, takes it with him.
He just takes his home wherever he goes.
But I'm kind of shocked that he actually blocked you, considering the way I treat him, and he hasn't blocked me yet. He must feel really threatened by you. That's funny.
Yeah, as soon as I was like, I've done more for, and you know, I don't know if that's entirely true. I mean, the guy has done a lot of stuff, but you know, all I do is a couple of podcasts and a radio show, right? But yeah, it's like, okay. But you know, anybody who asks that question, my initial response is like, well, anybody who asks that question hasn't done anything good, because they're asking this question and you know, they're making a fool of themselves on the public stage. Now, when I said this, like, Miller said, he's like, here's a better response for this, and I think it is true. Is when someone says, like, what have you ever done for liberty? It's like, it will tell me exactly how much I must do for liberty in accurate quotants that would make my opinion valid and different than yours. Like, what is it? What do I need to do for this particular cause that allowed me to have an opinion different than you? Because apparently I'm not allowed to have an opinion different than you because, you know, you're God, King, Emperor of libertarianism. How does that work?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you must. Yeah, what's the threshold here? How tall must I be to ride this ride? Type, basically, you know.
Yeah. Considering how much of an embarrassment he's been outside of all of his decent activism, it's kind of fair to say I probably have done more, just making a a podcast and an appearance on the Freedom Fiends once a week. I probably have.
I'm pretty sure you have. I don't know. Yeah. Like I said, as far as I know, his most of his activism consisted of him going to jail for not writing out Ian, which again, great thing. I will forever give him props for that and being willing to do time, you know, instead of, because I've had other friends in my life who've been put in that position, and a couple of them have gone the other way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so like I have massive respect for anybody who will be like, nope, I'm biting the bullet. You know, I'm not taking my friends down with me. Sorry, not going to help you. So like for that, great. But pretty much everything, like anything else he does in that realm, which I know he's big on the cannabis activism, which is great. I'm all for that. Although he is a big proponent of legalization. It drives me nuts.
Yeah. I would never rat my friends out, but until it actually happens, I can't say that I can. Oh, no. That looming threat of jail, who knows, you know? But we'll talk about more of that when we get back
to the market.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
When the final element is released, it's not because I need to know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get State Speech is Hate Speech, Guns and Weed, Buy Sheep for Sheep on Jeep,
and Bitcoin.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says,
Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big but now are small. It's a real true fiend, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all. Fiend buttons are the thing for me. Some bigger than they used to be. Others once were big, but now we're small. It's a real true feat, they gotta collect them all.
My meows are not on point today because I've been drinking all night or all day yesterday, all morning yesterday. And then I learned that I'm a whole lot better playing in television games when I'm drunk and listening to Naked Jams than sober and listening to the audio. So
interesting.
Yeah. Today I learn. So, yeah. So where has Liberty touched you in inappropriate places lately?
No, I've been trying to ignore Liberty largely. I've been trying to work on my. I've been doing my shows. I mean, I've been here a lot.
Proof that you haven't done anything for Liberty like I have.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not allowed to disagree with me anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All I've been doing is my shows. I've been trying to ignore Liberty on the whole because I just see too much silliness going on with too many people. Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't want to deal with anybody. I try to ignore, and I, because I'm still working on all the stuff I got going on over here. Because now, a few months back, I talked about needing to get my butt in gear to actually work on getting out of this state, and now it's January, and now I have 9 months left to get out of my house, or have to deal with the fact that I'm gonna have to refinance the mortgage on this thing. So yeah. I really need to get moving on
that. Yeah. Are you looking into still moving into, what is it, Idaho? Or Idaho. Are you moving to Ohio?
Ohio is...
Sorry for all the people I offended in those two states for confusing the two, but go ahead.
Yeah, I don't take offense. I don't know. I'm sure Miller may have a problem with it, but you know, I that's my ideal.
Excuse me. That was extremely triggering. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry, Steve. That's my hopeful destination, but I'm still trying to work things out with my ex and still trying to figure out where we can compromise to go on. So, and I'm still trying to find other work. So, I still need to do stuff like that too. So,
allegedly there's good farming areas in Nevada. I don't know if that's true. I mean, like there was that Bundy Ranch thing. I mean, apparently they had a ranch. And I was kind of wondering, like, I live in Nevada. Where is there like grassy fields for a horse or for cows to graze on? I don't believe this.
Yeah, well,
apparently it exists.
Well, isn't most of Nevada government land anyway?
Yeah, government land, government hot, dry sand.
Well, maybe But maybe some of it's, you know, nicer. Yeah. You just don't get to see it. I don't know.
Yeah, up in the mountains, it's really nice. It's really beautiful. There's trees and grass, you know. Yeah, things that Emo Phillips didn't see until he was 10. So, but yeah. It's really beautiful up there, and it's, you know, just like a lot of forest areas, and we're kind of looking for a place kind of like Jackalope Freedom Festival, where there's kind of questionably owned land, whether or not we could throw like a little festival there every year.
Oh yeah.
But you know, we decentralized, try to look for something like that, but you know, it hasn't been going well, apparently. But yeah.
Yeah, I think unfortunately that crowd found one of the only locations like that.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, I did like a couple of cursory searches after the first time I spoke to Alma Summer, who, you know, is not in charge of that thing. But has, you know, doesn't she, her and her,
Jack is in charge of that thing.
Yeah, Jack.
And I don't know Jack.
Yeah, but she has that, you know. She was the contact person. But when I talked to her, after I talked to her about it, I'm like, that's really cool. I want to try to see it. And I, you know, but yeah, you don't come up with much. It's like, yeah, the government likes to lay claim to everything. So anything that is unowned gets snatched up quickly by them somehow.
Yeah, and the areas that we were looking up there, it doesn't look like a place you can have a ranch. It's really steep inclines. It's like, you know, you're on a mountain. But, yeah.
Yeah, that would have
to be
a no drugs and alcohol party, because that'd be pretty dangerous. Everybody hanging on a mountain.
That wouldn't, I don't buy that. No. Survival of the fittest, I guess. if you can't handle acid on an incline, maybe liberty isn't for you.
Now, there is a litmus test I think I can get behind. That's always argue over who's more libertarian. Well, there you go. We have just set the bar. Liberty?
It doesn't matter. You couldn't hand yourself on acid on the incline. Don't tell me what. I don't care what kind of activism you've done. Okay. You couldn't handle ayahuasca on top of the hill. Okay. So. You need 13 stitches. Yeah. And you need to be hogtied. Oh man. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can get behind that.
That should be the real litmus test for libertarians. It's like,
exactly. See, these are good rules. This is kind of like my whole, you know, even though I am largely a proponent of the NAP, even though I don't think it's like, you know, all inclusive. I think there's other, you know, the gray areas that people talk about. But I've always said that, you know, settling differences between libertarians, steel cage matches. I think it's a wonderful thing. You know, I think people, you know, semi-voluntarily get in there and settle it.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
I'm just like, I think I just know when the brakes come on now. I'm not even looking at the time. I'm just like, it's about right. This next one should be right. Yeah.
That's impressive.
CNN is on, what are we at, like 2 months on suicide watch right now? Like, I don't know what's going on with them. They've been going absolutely crazy. And I've been noticing, like, I've said when I go to work, it's on the TVs in people's rooms. And less so, I don't know why, just people, now that the election's over, they don't care, so they're just not turning on to the news.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the channels aren't staying there, so it's usually like everybody's watching Married Children now. But, you know, much when I do options. See it, yeah, much better. You know, it's funny for the right reasons. It's not funny, like, sad. You know, anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess they ran a story, and so, where is this? CNN uses screenshot from Fallout 4 to show how Russians hack things. Now, Fallout 4 is a game that's kind of like a post-apocalyptic universe where there was no technological innovations almost since the 50s. The transistor was never invented. There was a gas shortage because they never figured out how to economize on fossil fuels, and there was a big war that lasted, what, like 30 minutes, where just all the countries nuked each other, and there was like these underground bunkers, and people came out and kind of are living in this post-apocalyptic wasteland where there's mutants and all kinds of stuff. Anyways, there's like these little terminals that are around, like little computer terminals, and you go on there and you can kind of hack things, and it's basically you're looking at the code and you're trying to find the password, and just basically they give you a list of like 8 different words hidden in this code, and you have to guess which one's right. It's a pretty simple concept, right? But apparently that's how you really hack in real life. I guess this is a step forward from the Matrix. I guess what they said was, if you wanted to talk about hacking on a major news network, your choices are either that or a scene from the Matrix. One Redditor sums it up nicely. Sadly, they're absolutely right. Hacking doesn't look like anything.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of funny. A lot of the times, hacking kind of involves people talking on the phone, like, hey, how are you doing today? Oh, yeah, I forgot my password. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
everyone thinks it looks like what it did on the movie Hackers, you know, where Cookie Monster's eating away at their screen, and that's a virus.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, I mean, I'm barely computer literate, and I have a basic understanding, but I'm sure, you know, I know a lot of people that are like me that have no understanding of stuff like that, and I can see how they assume that that is the case, but that is funny, you know, that's the only thing they have to use for that.
Yeah.
Because I saw a couple of different articles on that, and of course, you know, all the ones on the farther right used it to, like, you know, make fun of CNN. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, what other options do they really have? I don't know. And they're just lazy too. I don't know.
Well, I mean, they could just go to DEF CON one year, get some footage, and then just use that. Yeah. You know, that's a whole year of footage. Anytime they have a news hacking story, all they could use is just, oh, look, they have a computer terminal open. We'll just videotape that for a second while he's typing something into the command line. That's all it is, you know. But they insist on having the black background and the green text, and they'll just look for anything that'll do it, including Fallout and The Matrix.
Yeah.
There's pretty much everything that uses that scheme anymore. Nothing really uses it anymore. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is funny.
CNN has been kind of going crazy in other regions, too. I mean, like, they spent, like, 3 days, like, glorifying, glorifying Fidel Castro after he passed away. And it's just like, man, what is going on? Like, what is going on here?
Well, they still have to be in spin mode for everything, so they have to constantly be either attacking something or praising something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of attacking stuff and praising stuff, I guess we have a note for, because this is how we do. We have a nationally syndicated talk radio station, so we could talk at one person. So the guy who runs the anarcho-capitalist barbershop, is that right? ANCAP barbershop.
Yeah.
Yes. Turn up your volume on the next episode and email Michael. Was that it?
Yeah. Email Michael. I lost your email address, but I want to talk to you.
Okay. Worms. So, yeah, and turn up your volume. It was really quiet that last episode.
Central scrutinizer.
Yeah. I think that's different from furries, but
yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. But anyways, yeah, it's always been like, oh, what? And even during the holiday break, when there's pretty much like it's a dead cycle for news, unless people die or, you know, a place gets bombed, it's really kind of dead time for news, because all the politicians are at home taking a break from their warmongering and killing people. You know, and they're trying to pretend to be humans for 5 days before they have to go back go back to killing people and threatening people and being a general nuisance in other places as well. So, but even still, they're still trying to find, like, oh, Trump tweeted about something, and he wasn't particularly nice when he tweeted about New Year's. What was it? He said, I think he tweeted something along the lines of, like, oh, it's New Year's, you know, and, you know, here's to all the people who hated me. You're terrible. And it's like, why would he tweet that? And it's been like 5 or 6 hours on this news story in the entire news cycle week. And it's like, why? It's just a tweet.
Yeah,
who cares? But, it's what he always does.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But that's what this is going to be. This is that's what this presidency, for the, at least for the first year, that's all it's going to be. They're just going to pick apart every little thing. And because he insists on still tweeting during his peak hours of 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. Eastern time, which is when almost all of his tweets come out, which I think is spectacular. You know, I don't like the guy particularly, but some of the things about him, I can't help but just smile. I'm just like, that's awesome. Yeah. Just the fact that he's up at that hour tweeting all the time. Great. Good for him.
Yeah, he's a turd, but if you open him up, there's a couple of gems in there every once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
But mostly it's a turd.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Trump. Never have been. But in some of the things that he's been doing, it's kind of like, oh, that's nice. Like the guy he chose for the EPA is like currently suing the EPA for overreach. I think the guy he wants to choose for the FDA is like philosophically opposed to having an FDA. There's things like that have some promise, but I don't know if it'll go that far. But it's nice to know.
Yeah. See, I had heard something. I think I can't remember when it was, but something about somebody from the EPA, actually going to jail. And I thought I heard that, and then I tried to follow up to see if it had anything to do with the guy who was trying to sue them, because that would be an interesting twist. Because you know that lawsuit has to go away one way or another if he gets selected. So, you know, that would be an interesting twist if somebody actually did go to jail already because of it. Because that doesn't happen.
I'm all for government officials going to jail.
I'm line them up. Yeah, it doesn't happen often enough. That's the problem.
I'll pay $3 more in taxes to make to have more people, more government agents thrown in jail, and you know, drug dealers kicked out of jail. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice if they just let all those people go.
I'd pay $3 more. That's about it. And I'm still going to do my theft refund and try to get every penny I can out of it. Oh, yeah. But except that $3.
Except that $3. That doesn't even count. That doesn't exist. You're just putting it off the side. You're getting this no matter what.
Yeah.
Good government. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. See, I don't know.
Eating yourself is good. I'm all for having my enemies eat themselves. I love it when the alt-right eats themselves. I love it when the SJWs eat themselves. I love it when the government eats itself. The more they eat themselves, the less work I can do, and I can just sit back with some popcorn and go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
My work here is done.
Well, yeah. the you know, the eating itself is a good thing, but unfortunately, when the government officials actually do go to jail, it's usually just because they're the scapegoat and nothing else changes.
Yeah.
So it's not really fully eating themselves. It's basically just throwing somebody under the bus.
Yeah, it's like Scooter Libby, just take one for the team.
Exactly.
Right, we'll pardon you once you get out, but you know, it's either that or Dick Cheney, and they're not like
exactly
going to give him a break. So
exactly. So
yeah.
Yeah, but you know, hopefully more of them will go. I don't pay attention much, but it would be interesting to see if a guy who's actually suing them, because I think that would actually be, well, hopefully if anybody's paying attention, that might actually be an even more telling thing if you could convince people to pay attention to that and be like, okay, this guy was suing this department going in. And now see what happens once he gets in there. Because if nothing changes, which is usually the case, you know, largely nothing will change. Like maybe some cosmetic things will change here and there. But the overall mission of whatever the department, agency, whatever it is, usually stays pretty much the same. They've all kind of been on the same path for the past, I don't know, 100 years or so.
Yeah, I mean, Ronald Reagan was really hard against the Department of Education. He was always threatening to take it down and destroy it, and it doubled the size of the size of his presidency. So, and it's probably not because he wasn't trying. He probably really did try, and he probably just really learned you just can't defeat the deep state. Don't even bother. You can try to throttle it back, but that's about the best you can do. The deep state is pretty much its own thing, and no politician can do anything about it, no matter how hard you vote.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. But so, well, I mean, we know that, but like I said, that's my hope for things like this, that people, that does happen, which, you know, would kind of be business as usual, so it's not going to affect me any differently. But yeah, you know, hopefully that's the one thing that these elections can do for actual liberty, is actually show people who want to pay it, who want to have that hope, just go, wait a minute, because that's kind of what happened to me. You know, Michael and I talked about that earlier. Michael asked me to tell my story, but it's kind of, you know, you start paying attention, you go, wait a minute, didn't he say that, like, did you say the exact opposite thing like a month ago? Wait a minute, I'm so confused.
I like trolling in the ballot box. That's what I find the most amount of fun. I don't think like when I went and voted for Gary Johnson, it was going to amount to anything. I didn't think any of my votes were going to amount to anything, except for maybe the small local ballot measures, where like maybe 2% of the people who are actually voting actually vote for those things. They usually just go like, I'm just here to vote for president, or I'm just here to vote everything that's just on my party ticket, and that's it. I don't know what these ballot things are, and I don't really care about a 2-cent tax for just, you know, for Clark County, so I'm just gonna skip that. I don't know what that is. But you know, most of the other things, my vote did not matter, and I just kind of did that, just kind of go like, oh, so just so they could look and say like, oh, here's this guy who's registered Republican who voted Libertarian all the way across. What are we doing wrong in case they lose? But you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or if there's like a joke candidate. The reason why I voted for Gary Johnson, by the way, was just because it was exactly what his running mate did. Yeah, that. And it's exactly what Bill Weld, his running mate, didn't want me to do. He wanted me to vote for Clinton, so I didn't.
I talked about it with you. I approve of that. That's worth it. Trolling.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
So I don't know if Arcade City's a thing. I don't know. I keep hearing other things.
Hasn't it died and gone away yet?
I think it turned into Swarm, and the guy who was actually running Arcade City is accusing the people who took it from him of being a scam, which is totally rich. Really rich. But, yeah, this whole thing is a mess. You know, and it shouldn't be that hard to just do decentralized ride-sharing apps where people can voluntarily trade for stuff. And Cell 411 did it, and it's beautiful. No one asked for rides on it in my area, but were there to be, I'm sure someone would be there to come pick me up. I think one person requested a ride from me, but they were on the other side of town, and this was like 3 months ago. But
yeah. But at least the software seems to work.
Yeah, the software seems to work. And we have our... And I don't really get much updates for emergencies, so I guess that's a good thing, because if people aren't needing emergency services, then that means, you know, things are pretty relatively peaceful, I guess. Or no one's using it. No. But what we've been doing with the app is when we have our little pub nights for Liberty on the Rocks thing, mm-hmm. We'll put out an alert. We have our own group, and we tell everybody when they come in, like, this is 4 pub nights. Don't come in here and post stuff for emergencies. We're not going to be able to profit. A lot of these people aren't going to here to help unless you need in dire need of beer. And, you know, anytime we have, like, the little pub night or impromptu one, we'll just go, like, oh, hey, we're at this bar. Come hang out with us and, you know, have a beer with us and some pizza. Nice. So that's what we've been doing with it. And yeah, it's been pretty helpful, and it pinpoints exactly where the beer is, in case you're lost.
Very important.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. See, I have Cell 411 on my phone, and I just don't regularly use it, because there's no, I don't have anybody around here that that actually wants to use. Like, I've tried to convince some of my like family and friends that are around here that it's like, I'm like, all right, whatever, you know, like, and I don't deal with too many people locally anyway. Most of the people I deal with are actually out of state, so
yeah. I think it just takes a little bit more time and adoption for people to see it, and you know, it's good if no one's using it, because it means no one's getting hurt or robbed or bullied or what's the other things that are on the list, or general inquiry to, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, general alerted. That's always a terrible time when you get general alerted. But yeah, I don't know. I like cell 411. I'm kind of hopeful that this people will start looking at it as an Uber alternative, because it's all there. All the software is there to do it. You don't need this Arcade City taking, oh, we'll just take a little bit less than Uber. It's like, well, that's kind of defeats the whole point of having it in the first place, where it's completely decentralized. There's no central agency for, you know, the cities to say, oh, you can't use this, you know, you can't use this service, and we're going to shut down this service, so you can't buy or send money through this service. Like, that kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah,
but if it's completely decentralized, and people are saying like, "No, you're just handing me cash directly, or you're handing me, bitcoins directly, or you're using a service like what is it, Simple? Was it Simple or Square? No, I think it's Square. Oh. I get those confused. Simple is the bank. Square is the thing where you can take credit cards. Okay. Anyways, and you can just use those things, and they're all privately run. You just can't say like, "Oh, we're going to stop people from using Square," because a lot of people use it, you know, for other things other than ride sharing, right? You know, like, you'll go to get, I'm sure a lot of these city councilmen probably buy coffee. Yeah. They're buying coffee from, you know, that's not at Starbucks, uses a Square reader or something like that. So mm-hmm. That wouldn't work.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And if they did it, well, if they managed to do something like that, they would change it in a hurry, because the only thing things like that ever change is when it affects them directly. It's like, whoa, what did we do here? That's not good. It's going to affect my coffee? No. Can't have that.
So I guess the redemption is, do business with your local city council member, because eventually you'll do something with them that they like, and then they're going to have to be faced with banning it or not, because it's going to be like affecting something else they're going to be doing.
Yeah,
or right. Something. That's the redemption.
There you go.
Allegedly. I don't have my phone.
Oh. Yeah, it's going to take me too long to get mine up. I guess that's not a bad plan while we're stuck with government and the agents thereof, learn what yours like, so make sure we're convinced them to like the stuff that you like, so it won't ever get banned.
Allegedly, not a guarantee.
Yeah, that would be better. Well, this has been fun.
Yep. Oh, and Monero's going crazy right now. I'm so rich.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. All the cryptocurrencies are doing well. And Bitcoin.